Jeannie Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is March 22nd, 2024. And welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined by Kevin Combs. We're live from the Western Candy Conference. But before we do, Kevin, I want to get Nicole and Marilyn's review of the NIOP in Palm Springs, California. Nicole, Marilyn, what'd you learn?
Thanks, Mike. It is Nicole Thomas. And this week, my colleague, Marilyn Adetwum, an analyst with McKinney Flavelle that you'll all get to know here very soon when you come to our spring seminar, because I know that's what you're going to do. Anyway, we are attending the NIOP conference this week. Now, for those of you that may not be familiar with that conference, it is the conference for the oil, vegetable oil, edible oil industry, an opportunity to meet up with a lot of the, well, pretty much all of the oil seed processors in the U.S. market and learn a little bit about what's going on there. And this year, we were fortunate to have that in Palm Springs and a really good venue. You know, I will say this, when it comes to the NIOP, they find good spots, warm and perfect for meeting with folks. So that's what we're doing here, trying to get the latest and greatest on what's happening in the oilseed world. And Marilyn, this was your first ever industry conference, I believe, right?
Yes, it was.
So what was your impression, other than, you know, being stuck hanging out with me for a few days?
By the way, I loved hanging out with you.
Thank you.
It was very eye-opening. It gave me the opportunity to actually see or meet some colleagues in the industry and listen to them from their perspective on what they do and how we bring value in their industry, I mean, in their company as well. And I also loved the opportunity that I could do business in a very relaxed environment, the weather, the ambience, but yet still we are there for business. It was very nice. Yes, I loved it.
I don't know. It's something about me and rain, and wherever I go, I bring rain, because this is supposed to be the desert, but it did rain.
It did rain.
It rained hard for a good chunk of the day on Monday, but that is okay. So I'll be making a tour through the Midwest this summer just to do my part to help out. That's all.
Nice.
So I know folks would love to hear a little bit about what we, some of the hot topics at the conference. So I think I'll start with, definitely a more relaxed setting than the last year or so. Everyone feeling a lot better about oil markets and prices, and we're probably 20 cents off of where we were a year ago at this conference. So you're getting really the sense of the impact of more crush capacity, also seeing some of the new facilities, or at least reps for some of those newer facilities out at the conference, promoting their capabilities and looking for new customers. So, you know, that impact of crush capacity and just greater, you know, more adequate vegetable oil supply globally helped to create a more relaxed vibe, like you were mentioning, Marilyn. And speaking of, maybe not so relaxing, you had an opportunity to check out the presentation on renewable diesel, right?
Yes, I did.
How did that go?
Very educative. A lot of information to have and to note. I like the fact that Anthony Reed, who was the speaker, gave an overview of what the RFS environment, that's the renewable fuel standards, was going to look like in the future, and what's happening currently with ethanol and biodiesel, renewable fuel. Some things I took note was that currently ethanol, biodiesel, and renewable fuels are tied up to the hip, and the fact that the EIA has seen expectations for biofuel outstripping what was actually required. So basically saying that the demand is high and people had concerns about if the market could catch up, and there's an assurance that the market would catch up. And we could see that crush has increased. So for canola, we've seen record crush, especially coming from Canada. Even here in the US, we've had record soybean crush as well. And that's, we've also had record oil imports. So then all stating to the fact that the market is catching up to bring availability for the feedstock to be used for renewable fuels, biodiesel, ethanol. And something to note was also for the 2026 RVO standards, basically the volume, and that EPA wasn't going to revisit that this year, especially because it's an election year. So basically, they're going to sit it out and see what happens next year. Then they would revisit that as well. Then he spoke briefly about Inflation Reduction Act implementation and how it would look like in the next year. But basically, most of the things he said was it is going to be dependent on the election. So then there was no hard and fast rule on this is going to happen if this candidate wins or not, because there are all terms and conditions applied to that. And the ERIN program, that's for the electricity renewable identification numbers, is still pending. And there's been in the court decision, it's outstanding for the small refinery exemptions as well. So, but on the whole, we touched on the SAF. We touched on clean fuel production credits. We also touched on hydrogen credits. So, yeah, a lot of policies that may or may not be adjusted in the next year. It was eye-opening for me. Very educative.
Yeah, arguably that is the most sought-after topic in terms of information these days.
Yes.
We've all watched how the impact of the renewable fuel standard and renewable energy biofuels has generally had on the market. So, and looking at that category, I mean, we had a conversation with a couple of clients and talking about how, you know, these days we're almost neck and neck in terms of consumption, domestic consumption of soybean oil for food versus fuel. So, yeah. Those who have been around for a while are very familiar with that term. And there was definitely discussion there. I mean, I think you hit it on the head with renewable diesel as kind of being the, and biofuels generally speaking, being the big topic for consumption. I'd say the other, probably the only other thing noteworthy of mentioning is just a lot of questions and recognition of the change in supply and how that has been impactful on prices. For the last, you know, call it 3 to 6 months at this point. And with that, questions about, you know, palm and this recent price rally. And is that more of a short-term thing or a long-term thing? And I think the sense we kind of got was maybe more of a short-term dilemma and something that may correct itself as the months progress. But also on that topic of palm, segregated palm. It was topical as well. We had seen a bit of a trend here in the last 12 to 18 months of more users of palm shifting towards segregated. And now it sounds like there may be a little backtracking there, particularly considering one large retailer that remains to be, that won't be named, falling prices. I'll leave it at that. Kind of, I guess, fine tuning their thoughts on expectations, both in terms of what they consume for their own products, but also kind of the, you know, nominal effect on the industry as a whole that may speak more to mass balance plus what I'm going to call it, as opposed to all out segregated palm, which should help from a supply scenario as well. I think it's much more readily available, and the industry as a whole is pretty comfortable with a mass balance oil at this point. So that was a talking point. And then also questions on soybean oil coverage, considering that, you know, prices made their way to multi-year lows here. We're trending higher again and have been for a couple of weeks now, I think. And that is leaving users with the question of, well, how much should I be worried? Are we gonna are we gonna see another round of extreme bullishness, or It's just going to be your typical seasonal kind of strength that leads into the planting season and through the growing season for the crop. And then everything calmed down at the end of the year. So definitely getting a sense that for many, there's great consideration of, you know, that Q1 2025 time period and looking at whether or not current levels, you know, would provide a nice little, I don't know, weather hedge in case things went awry or something else unexpected came to the market that shot prices up and wanting to have a little of that on paper. So again, a lot of questions about, you know, price, what to expect there, and as well as, you know, kind of the outlook for supply longer term. So overall, I would say it was a good show.
Yes.
Did you say it was a good show, Marilyn?
Yes. I enjoyed my first conference and I look forward to many more. It was a good show. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think if nothing else, I need to learn how to golf so I can spend a little more time outside.
Yeah.
You're in beautiful places. I don't want to be in a stuffy building all day. So yeah, that may be some. You hear that, Mike? Where you're going to get me. You're going to get me golf lessons, right? Right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. And speaking of Mike and those golf lessons he's going to give me or get me, because Mike, I don't want golf lessons from Mike. He's going to talk a little bit about what's going on where he's at, which is the Western Candy Conference. So I'll give it to you, Mike.
Thank you, Nicole. That was a great recap. Thank you, Marilyn. Now let's shift over to the Western Candy Conference, and I'm joined here with Kevin. A little bit about the Western Candy Conference. It is a primarily a conference for small and mid-sized candy companies, a great place for them and the suppliers to them to talk a little bit about all the different issues in the candy industry, from legislation to ingredient costs to co-man, to even 3D printing is what we heard this year. So we wanted to give you a little recap. So I'll go ahead and start, Kevin, before I have you talk, because you were on a commodity panel, weren't you, Kevin?
I sure was.
And I was the moderator, so I was a little easy on you this year.
That was very nice of you. I didn't have any issues, went smooth, didn't get any severe questions or anything that I couldn't answer. So I appreciate that.
My pleasure, my pleasure. So yeah, some of the big things that we heard, one was talking about co-mans and a little bit in depth about the co-manufacturing industry and some of the challenges and pitfalls and opportunities that they're seeing with co-mans, how they're structured, and a little bit about how to work with co-mans. So I thought that was a pretty good talk.
Yeah, it's a great talk. It's interesting to see just how they can work with and what the advantages were and disadvantages. A few things, you know, I didn't really think about, and how they could make that work. And, you know, especially for some of these small companies, lower entry costs, speed to market, they could really take advantage of them. So it's good.
Excellent. Yeah. And then there was some talk about 3D printing. So I thought that was really interesting talk because as you talk about innovation and you talk about bringing things to market, the whole thing was, hey, you know, you can print these prototypes at a fraction of the cost and really not just on a screen look at it, but really print it out and make any adjustments that you need.
Yeah, you know, with my extensive manufacturing background, Mike, I was really impressed by that. Well, okay. Not quite a lot of experience there, but anyways, neat to see some of the prototypes and things that they were able to build in a plant. And, you know, one of the examples showed how they had a two-piece tool on their production line that replaced like a 10-piece line before, and just how simple it was and effective it was. And then, you know, the amount of money they're able to save. And again, the speed at which they're able to get these parts put together with 3D printing. So yeah. I personally think we need to get a 3D printer for the office.
I like it.
We could play around with that and have a lot of fun.
Oh, we could. We could. We don't do manufacturing, but I think we could start with doing the swag, like my swag ideas.
Swag ideas. There you
yeah,
go.
Yeah. Another important topic that I'll bring it to where I was the moderator was commodity panel. And so we had Jovic from SF Bay Commodities. We had Dave Mitchell from Barry Calabo and Scott Amoye from Blommer Chocolate, and you, Kevin, from McKinney Flavel, talking about sugar, oils, and cocoa and chocolate. And certainly Scott and Dave had the most questions and the most attention.
Yeah, can you believe that? Here we are, we're in the middle of sugar bookings, and yeah. I got one question from you.
Yeah, that's right.
That was it. I had questions on sugars, and I know, you know, I'm good, but I don't think I gave them that much information in 6 or 7 minutes of talking.
Yeah.
But cocoa and chocolate, everyone was all over that, and, you know, beans hitting $8,500 or whatever they're at intraday as we're going through the talk. So yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Dave Mitchell did a good job covering the consumer demand. And, you know, I mean, these high prices are going to make some changes with consumers and his manufacturers that he sells to. Maybe less chips or a shift towards compounds. So, you know, at these high levels, it's tough.
And I think it goes back to one of those favorite sayings that I think Nicole had, you know, high prices cure high prices.
Yes.
And shrinkflation, skimpflation, all of those things are coming to the forefront. And it's just, you know, they have to because you can't afford it and you can't find it. So when you can't find it, obviously, you got to cut back, and it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, he gave the cookie example. He started with a big cookie, just a regular cookie, and I think he was down to a quarter-size cookie. So I don't know what he's saying there. But and Scott did a great job, too, talking about the supply side and all of the concerns back down to the farm level and that this is a long-term problem. And, you know, with his recommendations on how to navigate through the market, you know, take advantage of some of these dips and hope you're wrong and maybe get some more relief in the marketplace.
Yeah, it's crazy. And people got to look for alternatives and whatever they can do to keep products on the shelf. And it's going to be a rough go for the next year or two.
Yeah, and you know, Jovic did a great job talking about oils. And one of his main points was this fuel versus food issue. You know, he has been in the industry a long time. And, you know, that is a big, big factor in the oil industry, as Nicole and others have talked about, is how big of a challenge that is for folks.
Yep, no doubt. And food versus fuel, it's a debate we've been listening to and been involved with since ethanol craze really started to hit in around 2005, 2006. And it, you know, here to stay. It's crazy to think, you know, the numbers he's thrown out there on how much soybeans were going to be used for fuel going forward. It was corn, you know, 15 years ago. Now we're talking about soybeans.
Exactly. All right. Well, the last topic I'll talk about is you, Kevin, and that was your sugar talk. And, you know, obviously coming off the backs of the colloquium, we're talking about what negotiations and what's happening in negotiations right now. And, yeah, did you want to say anything on that?
You know, I think what we're seeing in negotiations, business is slowly taking forth. It's completely different than last year where people were under pressure. Prices were already starting to go up. And right now, you know, things just kind of seem to be fairly mellow. People are contracting, but no one's in a rush. Suppliers aren't really pushing anybody yet. But
that could change quickly.
That could change quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
So still nervous. But, you know, I think these levels, I don't see a lot of downside at this point. And you always got the risk of something happening. Don't get plannings going in the ground in time, whatever, in a few weeks. So it's an interesting time because you got to decide if it's right time to pull the trigger now or wait.
Exactly. Okay, we're going to wrap this one up. Before I do, don't forget our webinar coming up on March 27th at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can register on our website. And obviously, don't forget about our spring seminar on April 17th in Oak Brook, Illinois. Seats are limited. I just saw a bunch more people sign up. So if you're interested, you better do it today. You can also register online at McKinney-Flavelle.com. We're going to wrap this one up. As I always like to say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Enjoy every minute moment with your friends and family. Do something fun this weekend. And until our next podcast, take care, everybody.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Flavelle's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Flavelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.